7 o'clock, Rise and Shine Pile. Good morning, Jim Davis. Along with cake. Who doesn't love cake?
Morning.
And cake, you had cake the other day. Happy belated birthday, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're what, 24, 25 now?
26. Which I have read somewhere that that's when the brain stops developing fully or stops like growing. So I guess I am to abbreviate SOL in the intelligence department. If I ever thought I was going to get any smarter than I am now, nope.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks. I keep hoping that, you know, for me, you know, the
hopes and dreams,
you know, that the brain will get better as I get older, right? No, it doesn't do that. It doesn't get better as you get older.
Or at least it stops. It's supposedly at its most mature at the age of 26.
Okay, well, that's as far as maturity. Yeah.
It's all downhill from there.
I totally agree with that. Totally shafted in that department. It's been going downhill for quite some time. Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Excellent cake choice, by the way. Cake, I would expect nothing less from a man whose nickname is Cake.
Obviously. Got to go with the German chocolate.
Yeah, we had another birthday this week. The other cake?
Not so much.
No, there was a lot of it left. Your cake was gone.
It was.
Gone.
Oh, I was surprised.
Gone in a hot minute. The other one? I think still in there. I think it's still in the conference room right now.
Probably stale.
You think?
It's probably a little bit stale. No. You could probably. It looked kind of like a pink kitchen sponge. Yeah. And it, at this point, probably could be used as a pink kitchen sponge with how stale it is.
But that was the choice of that individual. And
we will not name names.
Exactly. Because it was a bad cake choice. It's bad. I'm sorry. Just a bad cake choice. Fine cake choice on your part, though.
Why, thank you.
All right. So it's a busy show today. Rob Fournier, the coach of Wabash Valley, Illinois, number one team in the JUCO baseball rankings, will join us at 8:20 this morning. Wabash, when they came here before, they've been here a couple other times. 2017, the last time they were here.
Mm-hmm.
They have a reputation of ripping the cover off the baseball. Well,
oh, do tell.
Let's say that while it's 2021, things have not changed for Wabash Valley.
Their reputation precedes them.
They are hitting right now at a very impressive clip so far this season. It's looking at the numbers for them offensively. If I can find my stats for them, I had them right here. They're hitting right now 417 on the season.
As a team?
As a team.
Oh my God.
They're hitting 417.
Good Lord.
They have the top hitter in the country.
Doesn't surprise me.
Sailor Pinellas. He's only hitting 527.
Only 527.
We had Hayden McGeary from the Mavs on the other day.
Yes.
He's hitting like 510. And I go to Hayden and go, that's pretty good, right? And it's 5'10". It's pretty good. He's like, yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Pretty.
It's like
pretty solid.
I'm ribbing you, man. I'm giving you some grief.
So here's what we ought to do then.
What's that?
We ought to schedule, with permission from Chris Hanks and Coach Rob Fournier, a home run derby-esque face-off for charity between the Colorado Mesa Mavericks offense and the Wabash Valley offense.
Well, I think, and here's the deal. Rob hopes to be here.
In JUCO.
Chris hopes to be in Cary, North Carolina at that time. That would be the only fly in the ointment of your plan. Otherwise, that'd be a brilliant plan. That'd be fun. That'd be fun to just go a little team home run derby.
It would.
Top team in JUCO if they're still the number one team, because we still have, you know, miles and miles to cross before we get to the Memorial Day weekend, and likewise for the Mavericks getting to Cary. But that'd be fun. A little home run derby.
It would be. You'd see the long ball.
You pick five. Rob picks five. Chris picks five guys, four guys, whatever. Let's go out there and let's Let's see.
Just smack them.
Take my five best, and let's go see what happens. That'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun. Don't know if we can pull it off. Hopefully. Both those, we won't be able to pull it off because both teams will be doing
postseason
playing in their respective World Series. So we want to, we're kind of wrapping it up today with our, of course, our fantastic, what I think is going to be a Cannes award winning film.
Yes.
Golden Globes, Academy Award. Of course, the film that we're talking about is
this summer.
Omaha!
Coming to a theater near you.
The book I'm best known for is Blue Steel.
Yes, Blue Steel, the story of the Broncos Super Bowl 50 season. And so yesterday we ran out of time. We didn't get a chance to tell you who we picked finally for Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Philip Rivers. Josh DeMille, Fergie's ex, Transformers guy. He's going to be Tom Brady.
Solid choice.
Philip Rivers, I believe he's an Australian actor, but he can drop the accent.
You know what? And I saw the pictures. Pretty spot on.
Sam Worthington. Avatar fame. Sam Worthington.
Are
those movies ever going to come out? James Cameron. No. Well, are they ever going to come out? It's been, what, like now 10 years? It seems like since
12.
12. I mean, he supposedly filmed, you know, back to back, and when are those things coming out? When are we going to see them? I'm at the point now where I don't care. Almost I don't care anymore about Avatar.
And you know what?
I just don't care.
We saw a little bit of that movie my freshman year. It was like an off day, and it was like the last day of school.
See, that was your freshman year of college. You just turned
26. No, high school.
Oh, high school. Freshman year of high school. Okay, high school.
It was last day of school.
It's been that long. Okay, it has been that long.
It was like freshman, like the freshman study hall or the freshman orientation class or whatever. Last day of school, Earl, and we watched like the first 20, 30 minutes of Avatar. I cannot for the life of me tell you any names of any character from that movie.
I just remember Worthington.
See?
Sigourney Weaver's in it.
But can you name the characters they play?
No, I can't. I just remember, the actor that's like now in his 60s, but he's pretty buff guy. He was like the general. Like I can't remember his name.
The representation of the American military industrial complex.
Exactly.
In every James Cameron movie.
That's always his fallback thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's always the Cameron fallback thing. Stephen Lang. I always like Stephen Lang. There is a movie that Stephen Lang is in where he's blind and these kids are going to break into his house because supposedly he lives in this like abandoned section of Detroit. Right. Have you seen that movie?
I have not.
It's quite good. And Stephen Lang is a bad, bad man.
He's a bad man.
He is the classic bad A old, you know, old dude.
Right.
But it's been forever since that. 2009. I forget. It's been that long. 2009.
That was my freshman year of high school.
Oh, man. Anyway, Sam Worthington.
Sam Worthington.
He needs a gig. So Sam Worthington's going to play Philip Rivers. Now, we had some great debate about Bill Belichick.
Because it's hard to cast Belichick.
We had a variety of suggestions from Danny DeVito, which I don't think you'd like. Okay.
Nope. Sorry.
I mentioned De Niro. But you know who? We had a ton of them. We had a bunch of different ideas. Emperor Palpatine.
Ian McDermott.
No, Emperor Palpatine.
Oh. Not the actor who played. No,
Emperor Palpatine.
Got it.
But Sonny had one. Then I'm just going to run with it. I'm just going to run with this one.
All right.
William Shatner.
Yes.
Bill Shatner. Because Sonny was convinced that it'll bring the Trekkies in. Tom, what were you thinking? Tom, what were you thinking? I think William Shatner would be great as Bill Belichick. It's not like it's a huge, huge role.
Right. It's a little bit more on the cameo side.
Exactly. But still, why not Bill Shatner? Well, if we can get, you know, some Trekkies to come just because Shatner's in this, why not? So, okay, so we finalized our cast. Ryan Harris is going to join us next Thursday on the program. We've cast him in this movie. Ryan Harris will be played by the actor Lee Jackson from Friday Night Lights, the movie. So, and they do look quite a bit alike. I don't think size-wise they're necessarily, they're in the same zip code. We'll put it that way. But anyway, so we're going to have Ryan Harris come on, talk mostly draft,
right?
Since that'll be the night of the first round of the NFL draft. But we're going to run some of these by him. Say, what do you think about Lee Jackson playing you? What about Josh Brolin playing Gary Kubiak?
Just the general setup question of, had you ever had conversations in the locker room about who would play who in a movie?
Yeah, because we had Marcus Harris on yesterday, that played, starred at Grand Junction High School, played at CU, played at Southern Utah, played in the NFL with the Chargers and the 49ers. And he was saying he talked with his uncle, Brian Wyman, and that would be a conversation about, hey, if I ever do a story about me, who would play me, who would play you? And so I'm going to venture a guess. Those conversations have probably happened.
Oh, when you're super bored, it's been the long dog days of summer at training camp. You're doing stretches like, hey, I think De Niro would play a good coach, so-and-so,
yeah. Yeah, I'm sure those conversations have happened.
Oh, had to.
Absolutely positive that those things have happened.
How else do you get to 4 consecutive AFC West titles, 2 Super Bowls, 1 Super Bowl win, 2 AFC championship defeats of the New England Patriots? How else do you get there? If not for having the, hey, who do you think would play you in a movie conversation?
Have you ever had that conversation?
I have not.
You've never thought about if there was a movie about,
well,
one cake, who would play cake?
So, like, I'd have to lead a far more interesting life, or have to have done something historically significant to warrant.
I got you. That's where I am. It's like, I love my life. I love things, but it's not worthy of any kind of movie.
It's not Hollywood ready.
It's not even a short film. Let's be honest. It's not even worth putting on YouTube.
For
2 minutes.
Well, I think it's a YouTube channel called 60 Second Docs, where it's a documentary in 60 seconds or less.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that's probably good enough for that. I'm not sure about that.
No. One day.
Sure.
One day maybe.
One day maybe, sure.
Hey, you were interviewed in the New York Times for JUCO, so that counts for something.
Sure. I met Tony La Russa before and Bernie Williams. But it wasn't like these were these great interactions.
Right. They were
like when Tony La Russa came here for JUCO, he came, he was pleasant, but he was also very much, I'm here to do this to raise money for my animal rescue charity, and then I'm getting the hell out of here. There was that
thank tone. You there, and goodbye.
There was that tone, that vibe. It wasn't like we, had a chuckle or two and high-fived each other. And
hey, Tony, after the game, what are you doing?
There was none of that.
One hit with the bar afterwards.
Bernie Williams, great guy. He did not want to do a speech. He came, of course, he's a Grammy award winning jazz guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came here and played his guitar. How about that for a career? Yankees outfielder.
Right.
And then you decide to go, I'm done. I'm going to go be a Grammy,
award winning guitarist.
Like, was a Wayman Tisdale. He was a Grammy award winning bass player. I think a jazz bassist.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
I'll take your word for
it. But it wasn't like Bernie and I had these great interactions. So let's, nice guy. Both were nice guys. It was just, they're here to do their thing, and that's understandable.
You each had a job to do, and you did it.
I'm just thinking 60 seconds. I don't know if it's worth 60 seconds. We'll put it that way.
Fair enough.
All right, 7:14. So with the draft coming up next Thursday, I thought we'd talk about this today.
We might as well.
For every home run that a team hits.
For every Von Miller.
For every Von Miller that a team drafts, there's always, well, the busts. Who do you think is the biggest bust in Broncos draft history? Ooh. Now we'll go ahead and kind of set the scene here a little bit on this, because when you look at it for the Broncos, they're pretty much unanimous, and this is well before your time.
Mm-hmm.
Was Ted Gregory? Ted Gregory played at Syracuse.
Okay,
he was a defensive tackle, nose tackle, and the Broncos drafted him 26th overall in the 88 draft.
Okay.
And this is before there were pro days and teams and the combine, things like that, where, you know, front offices, coaching staffs had the chance to go and see players in the underwear Olympics.
It wasn't like heavily televised it is now.
Yeah, doing all the measurables, all those kind of things. Shuttle run, the 40, the high jump, the broad
bench
jump, bench press, all this stuff. And so the Broncos didn't really, other than the numbers for Ted Gregory, didn't have a complete sense of him. They did some scouting, but, well, they draft him. They draft him 26th overall.
Uh-oh.
He shows up at training camp in Greeley.
Uh-huh.
They had his height listed as 6'1".
Oh, no.
On the Syracuse roster. He comes in at 5'9". And he's small.
Ooh.
He's a small defensive tackle.
Oh.
We're talking like 250.
Oh.
Which even then is not big. Like 250, 240-ish in that range.
Yeah, that's not, no.
So, Ted Gregory, already small.
Tiny.
Short and not very big. And then he had knee injuries that weren't known to the Broncos. Knee injuries from his college days.
Uh-huh.
So yes, he's short, he's scrawny-ish, and he has bad knees.
For a tackle, he's scrawny.
Yeah.
For a otherwise average adult, he's probably considered
linebacker
overweight.
Okay, linebacker okay, you know, those things, yeah. But for an NFL defensive tackle, not a big guy.
No.
And he has an injury history. So, he's at training camp in Greeley. And injures his knee at training camp. So, they trade him to the New Orleans Saints, plays 3 games there, blew out his knee, never played in the league again.
That's a pretty big bust. Now, what I will say to that is, when I think of a bust, I think of a pick that you are sort of banking your franchise on.
Yes, and that's where That's where I'm going on this. Well, Ted Gregory, yeah, I could see why he would be the biggest bust. You wasted the 26th pick in the first round on a guy that never played for you. But it's not like they were banking on Ted Gregory to be a game-changing defensive tackle.
Right.
He's a defensive tackle.
You ask the question, would he or was he the sort of linchpin from, because, you know, 26 overall, 1988, so they would have been maybe not Super Bowl, but like playoffs at least, right?
Right. And, you know, that
so they're in the conversation, and, you know, you ask the question, like, do you think drafting this player is going to elevate us from good to great or from great to championship?
Exactly.
And I don't think Tony Gregory was probably going to be that guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it wasn't like Ted Gregory was going to be, not like the other guy that's right behind him on this list. One Paxton Lynch. I mean, they traded up to get Paxton Lynch. Okay, they traded up to get him.
Yeah, that one.
He was going to be the future of this franchise at the quarterback spot.
And he couldn't beat Trevor Siemian.
And he couldn't beat out Trevor Siemian. Just saying that, you know, Ted Gregory's one thing. You don't like to miss on a first round pick. You don't like to miss on that. But he was a defensive tackle. Paxton Lynch was a guy you're pinning your hopes to. Right? You're pinning your hopes to him being the answer at quarterback after the John Elway era.
And after the PFM era. The
PFM era. That you hoped you had your guy. He was going to be the replacement.
Well, you know, technically Brock Osweiler was going to be the replacement, but he went to Houston for more money.
And so,
you know how that worked out.
And so it ends up that they draft him. And like I said, they traded up to get him.
Not good.
Not good at all.
Not good.
Not good at all. Let's see. I'm looking at Broncos. That year, 88, don't believe they were a playoff team. I think they missed on the playoffs that year. That was a year after Randy Gratt. It's a Gratshaw walked away in 83. Excuse me.
So 1988 Broncos were 8-8.
So they're 8-8. So we're not a playoff team. But they weren't horrible. Weren't horrible though.
AFC West 1988, the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes, going way back.
Were your 1988 AFC West champions at 9-7.
Chargers had 6 wins. Chiefs had 4 wins. Yeah. All right. So, biggest bust in Broncos history. So, we're going to do that, but also we're going to do the biggest bust in NFL history.
Now, that one's tough.
And we'll talk about that coming up 9 o'clock hour this morning, because The Athletic put together a really nice piece on this about the biggest bust in NFL history. And there are a lot of contenders. A lot of contenders for that particular spot. So who, in your opinion, is the biggest bust in Broncos history? If you say Paxton Lynch, I can't say that that's wrong.
Right.
Because of the expectations placed on him to replace Elway and Manning and be the franchise quarterback. And you know, after Osweiler left, you know, those things placed a high premium. They traded up to get him. And it did not work out.
No.
All right, who do we have in the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone
line? It's Joel this morning.
Joel. Oh, Joel, I know this is your time of the year. It's Christmas time for Joel with the draft coming up next week.
Yeah, it definitely is. And honestly, I like the talk from Dove Valley as well, just the way that Peyton values picks, especially on a, you know, especially on a roster that's got contracts coming due in the next 2 years. You know, you're going to have some big positions to fill. And I, you know, I've been pretty adamant the whole time that, hey, if you take a quarterback at 9, I'm okay with that. But ultimately, I don't want to give up the assets that people are talking about to move up into the top 10. And Peyton kind of has the same mindset, it sounds like. Because you need more, you know, again, he refers to a dartboard. You know, you need more darts. The more darts you throw, the more opportunities you have to hit, because it is, at the end of the day, it's a roll of the dice to a certain degree. So, yeah. It's,
true. Did you catch his comments yesterday?
I did.
You know, talk about, you know, that, you know, we're really high on Drew. I like seeing Drew here every morning when I come in. Yada, yada, yada. All the positive stuff about him. But he still said, we want competition at the quarterback spot. You think it's a more likely scenario now that it's, that it maybe it's, if it's a Kyle Trask somehow slips to the, you know, second or third round, or it's Kellen Mond, that that's the solution? Or is it going to be the one that everybody keeps talking about, Teddy Bridgewater? There's a connection there with George during their Vikings years together, and the guy that was involved in drafting him, and that that's going to be the answer. Well, I mean, what direction do you think they're going to go coming up Thursday?
You know, I actually was listening to Broncos Country tonight, and Albright obviously is a legitimate Broncos insider, and I guess he texted Peyton after the press conference that, hey, you know, you kind of, there's a little bit of double talk, a little bit confusing, and Peyton doubled down. You know, he said, we really do like him. He said, I'm just not willing prior to training camp to name a starter, because we do still plan to add some competition there. Now, I don't know. I would say that a vet makes sense. Perfect world for me is a vet. I'd prefer Minshew to Bridgewater. I'm just not. I was a Bridgewater guy prior to this year, and then watched him, you know, give away numerous games in the second half of football games, and that scares me. And he's lost a step, obviously. And he was never, you know, a guy that had a huge arm or brought a lot to the table athletically. So I'd like to see him add, you know, a Minshew. If you're going to add a vet, it's got to be somebody legitimate. It can't be Driscoll. And then, you know, I've told you guys, I'm a big fan of some of that second-tier quarterback group. To me, the guys like Mond, the guys like Trask, and the guy that I really like because I think there's going to be a ton of value in the fourth or fifth round is Jamie Newman. So
yeah,
that would be perfect world for me.
Yeah, it sounds, the more I keep reading, that Herb does not want to part with Minshew at this point in time. I don't know if that's just playing poker. I mean, everybody's playing poker right now. If that's just something that's a smokescreen and they're willing to make a deal for Minshew, I'm not sure. But I'm with you on that. I'm not as down on Bridgewater as you are. I mean, he's 28. He's still a relatively young guy. But I would rather, if I'm going to take the draft, I'd rather have Gardner Minshew. I'm with you on that. I just don't get a vibe of what, like you said, there's kind of some double talk here with George Payton a little bit. We love Drew, but we want competition. And if you love him so much, why do you need competition? Which I think is an absolute necessity this year. They have to have somebody to put some pressure on Drew Locke to improve. I don't care how much he works with Peyton Manning, that's great. You have to have, he has to feel the heat. He has to feel the need to improve his performance in 2021.
And it's not just, you know, that's a component, but there's also the component, hey, they still had a relatively good roster, even with injury last year. And if you had a serviceable backup, you know, somebody other than Driscoll, then potentially the team is more competitive last year when sure. Drew's out as well. So I think that there's that as well. You, in today's NFL, given injury concerns and everything else, you got to have your backup needs to be a guy that can come in and win some games for you. And we just didn't have that last year. So I'm there with you. I work with an avid Panthers fan who knows the game, you know, not just kind of an armchair quarterback, but a guy that right. plays football and understands the game. And he is way down on Bridgewater. And so I have to admit a lot of that's from his perspective, but he just said, you know, when it mattered the most, he played the worst. And they obviously have a good roster. There's a lot of talent there at the receiver position. McCaffrey was out, but they still had DJ Moore and guys like that last year. So Bridgewater's not necessarily my guy. I wouldn't hate it, but not at $20 million a year. There's no way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's going to have to get renegotiated. Yeah, I'm with you on that. That price point is way too high. Joel, have a great weekend. I'm sure we'll probably hear from you next week, right?
I will make sure to call in, guys.
Okay, thank you, Joel. Appreciate
it. Take care.
First in the door, Joel, this morning. Got some insight. Miss Panthers buddy who trusts his information and his insight into Teddy Bridgewater. And just everything I keep hearing is that, and like I said, I don't know if it's smokescreen from the Jags or not. They don't seem interested now in moving Minshew. But
the question, though, is if you're going to, is this just, like you said, poker where, oh, we're not going to move on from, like, everybody knows they're going to draft Trevor Lawrence. So why are you kind of playing this mind game of, we're going to keep Minshew, we're not going to keep Minshew? I don't get it.
Yeah, I just think that they're, you know, they're playing like everybody, the cards close to the vest right now as we get ready for Thursday, round one of the NFL draft. All right, 7:28, going a little long here, but we will jump right into...
What's happening?
All right, start things out with the Avalanche back on the ice. For the first time in over a week last night, Avalanche skating in St. Louis against the Blues. After Colorado goaltender Philip Grubauer and others tested positive for COVID, the team had to pause play. Andre Burakovsky skating on that first line, filling in for Mikko Rantanen, who was out due to contact tracing. Burakovsky scored two goals. Colorado beats the Blues 4-2. The win secured a playoff spot for Colorado with that victory last night. Former Broncos Pro Bowl safety TJ Ward announcing this week that... he has retired. Ward was part of the Broncos Super Bowl 50 championship team, last played in 2017 with Tampa Bay. The Delta Boys soccer team is moving on the 3A state tournament. The Panthers defeated Atlas Prep 1-0 in double overtime Thursday to avenge last year's 7-0 loss to Atlas in the postseason. The Panthers' Johnny Gossine scored the game winner as Delta heads to Fort Collins tomorrow to play second seed Liberty Common in 4A. Montrose lost to Battle Mountain 5-0. Colorado Mesa's Brendan Brown is once again the RMAC Goalkeeper of the Year. The senior from Cambridge United Kingdom allowed only one goal in the regular season, along with 13 saves in an abbreviated RMAC schedule. Mavs junior midfielder Ethan Anderson shares the conference's Defensive Player of the Year award with two other players. First-year CMU coach John Friedel is the RMAC Coach of the Year with Alec Fronefell, also Daisasaka Tanaka, along with Brown and Anderson, all named to the first team. CMU takes on Regis tonight, 7 o'clock in the RMAC men's semifinals at Maverick Field. And for Coach Friedel, time to get to work tonight against Regis.
I think I told the guys today the rest of the way it's the elite of the elite, so there's no easy games the rest of the way. Every game's going to be a battle, and it's going to be a big test. So I think that's what we have to be prepared for, and I think we're going about things the right way.
Once again, that's 7 o'clock tonight over at Maverick Field. Colorado Mesa men's tennis team fell 7-0 to top-ranked Azusa Pacific in the PacWest tournament in Surprise, Arizona. The CMU women also lost 4-2 to Hawaii Hilo in the consolation round. Back to Maverick sports, softball team improved to 26-2 over the weekend, taking 3 out of 4 against UCCS. Despite the frustration of losing just their second game of the season, Mavs outfielder Sarah Stadell is looking on the bright side.
I think it was a good learning experience, saying we can be beat and we can't just be like, oh, we're riding the high road all the way through. We have to know that we have to put our best foot forward every game and not just lay back.
All right, so the 17th-ranked Maverick softball team, they'll host Colorado Christian doubleheader tomorrow at noon at Bergman Field. The CMU baseball team, number one team in the nation, they take on New Mexico Highlands tonight right here on the team. The two of us will have it starting the pregame at 5:45 tonight. Mavs catcher Hayden McGeary joined us on the program this week, and he says that every time they take the field, and it's been this way for a long time, they always have a target on their chest.
Skip talks about it all the time. No matter what their record is, no matter what the numbers say, teams are going to execute their best weekend of the year against us. They have nothing to lose and everything to gain. No matter who we play, whether it's in a Metro, Regis, we get their best punch.
And game one of that series is tonight. We'll hear more from Chris Hanks coming up in a little bit. But the Mavs in New Mexico Highlands tonight, pregame at 5:45 on the Team Sports Network. Elsewhere tonight, Rockies after a day off yesterday, they host the Phillies tonight. Also, the Nuggets play at Golden State this evening. And that's...
what's happening?
All right, 7:32. Who do you think, in your opinion, is the biggest bust in Broncos draft history? Likewise, biggest bust in NFL draft history? Text or call us 970-242-1340. We'll take a break. And we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the team, Colorado Sports Leader.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the team.
Welcome back in, Jim, along with Cake from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. The biggest draft bust in Broncos history. Is it Ted Gregory? Is it Paxton Lynch? Who is it, in your opinion? Can send that our way. Biggest bust in NFL history. Who would that be? You can also offer up your opinion on that today. 970-242-1340. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line serving your breakfast until 10:30 this morning over at the Rimrock location. So also, if you want to offer up a thought about the casting of William Shatner
As Bill Belichick.
Or any of the people we've cast in our film, which, like we said, it's gonna be huge.
This summer.
Omaha!
Coming to a theater near you.
The look I'm best known for is Blue Steel.
This is your day to, if you want to, grouse, or you can applaud some of our casting choices here, like Josh Brolin for Gary Kubiak, or Jake Busey as John Elway. Robert Pattinson as Brock Osweiler. I watched the movie The Rover last night. Guy Pearce, Robert Pattinson.
Is that the one where they're
in Australia and there's been like a financial collapse? It's very kind of post-apocalyptic. And Pattinson plays an American. I think his name is Monk in the movie.
Nice.
And he plays kind of the dumb hillbilly kind of character. He's really good guy. Like Guy Pearce is always... really, really good. But we got Pattinson in there. We had a lot of debate about who should play Von Miller. And I know I'm going to butcher his name. I heard him in an interview one time talk about how he pronounces his name. Yahya Abdul-Mateen. And I know I'm blowing that. The guy from Aquaman played Black Manta.
Oh, okay.
If you watched the Watchmen series on HBO, he was, spoiler alert, Dr. Manhattan. If you haven't seen it, too bad.
Too late.
Too late. There was some debate about who should play him. A lot of debate about DeMarcus Ware.
And I like the pick for DeMarcus Ware.
Eli Gorey, the actor that was in One Night in Miami, that played
as Muhammad Ali,
the young Cassius Clay. Cash, yeah. Soon to be Muhammad Ali.
Not yet, but
on the cusp.
Would become
part of the storyline in that particular movie. So if you want to go through these, if you got somebody, hey, you should have considered so-and-so. Did you think, not that we're going to go back and change some of these, but if the case is compelling enough, I might give it some consideration. Like I've said, I'm a reluctant dictator on this program. Not ready to always be Judge Dredd and, you know, bang the hammer down every time. That's it. Final. But I'm pretty solid on all these. I'm not going to move a lot. It would take a very compelling case for me to change on one of these.
You know, and I was going to say originally my choice for Von Miller was Michael B. Jordan, but seeing this gentleman, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, that's a pretty good choice. Yeah. That's pretty solid.
Yeah. Either way, you want a big physical guy.
Right.
Strong guy, muscular guy, guy that goes to the gym more than once every 3 weeks. You know,
6'3", that's pretty good.
Von Miller-ish territory, yeah. I think it's a good cast. And he's a great actor. He's a really good actor. All right, 7:39, the Avs back on the ice last night for the first time in well over a week. Shut down due to positive COVID tests for guys like Philip Grubauer, most notably, Mikko Rantanen in contact tracing as well. But the Avalanche get the 4-2 win last night. And Andre Burakovsky got the chance to play with the big boys, the first line last night, with Rantanen shut down due to contact tracing. And Andre Burakovsky responded. Two-goal night for him in that 4-2 win of the Blues last night, which nails down a postseason spot for the Avalanche. Here's Burakovsky about stepping into Miko's shoes.
I mean, it's obviously two unbelievable players I'm playing with, so they're helping me out, making it kind of easy for me, but it's not an easy role to fill in for Miko. He's one of the best, and I had to step up my game and play a solid game.
Yeah, playing Landeskog and MacKinnon. You're going to benefit from that.
Just a little bit.
So Burakovsky, two-goal night last night. Here's Avs coach Jared Bednar, because they only had one practice. Think about that.
Wow.
They had one practice before they played at St. Louis last night after they came off the COVID shutdown. Pretty darn impressive.
That's pretty good.
And you went there. They went to St. Louis to play last night, the 4-2 win. Here's Bednar on the Avs' gritty win over the Blues.
I thought it was pretty good. The start of the game, we looked like we were a little bit sluggish, but I thought the pace of our play and the urgency and determination in our game got better as the game went on. That second period was really good. And even in the third, we put ourselves in penalty trouble early in the period. But in the 5-on-5 game, I thought we were doing the right things. We get a big forecheck from the MacKinnon line and get a huge go-ahead goal after killing, I think, three or four penalties or three penalties in at the start of the third period. So real good game for us for being the first one back. Happy to get that result. It was pretty hard-fought coast hockey game. Chances, I'm sure, were pretty even. 5-on-5, and then I think both power plays got one. So good all-around effort, and I like the way Dubnyk played in goal again tonight and gets us a big win, so pretty happy with it.
Devin Dubnyk last night, 23 saves to the Avalanche. Colorado gets St. Louis again tomorrow. We'll have it tomorrow afternoon, pregame at 12:30 right here on the team. And the Rockies, they had the day off yesterday. They host Bryce Harper, who we all know and love, here in the Valley.
Love to hate, maybe.
Yeah, that's probably a more accurate term. Harper, by the way, he's hitting .357 right now.
Oh, boy.
He's living up to that contract, at least right now. But the Phillies are not playing great baseball at this point in time. Right now, the Phillies, what, .500 on the season. And the Rockies, 6-12 after that win at the two-game sweep of the Astros the other day. So the Rockies 6-6 in home games so far, or they're 6-6 in home games last year, so they will score off tonight. Rockies with that 6-6 mark. I'm just looking to see here. They were 6-6 in home in 2020. Excuse me, I had to read the right line here. Rockies on-base percentage, not very good. In fact, it's abysmal. It's .277. It's last in the National League.
Why am I not surprised?
Raimel Tapia leads the league with a mark, or leads the team with a mark of .333. Phillies are 1-5 on the road right now. And Rhys Hoskins leads the Phillies, 10 extra base hits. He's hitting, but he's hitting .239. But like I said, with Harper, what I, the numbers I saw for Harper, I'm going to double check that, because they had Harper hitting .357 right now in the numbers that I saw.
I'll take your word for it.
I'm just double checking here, because yeah, they have him. Let's see, Hoskins. Yeah, he's hitting .357. But so far, he's got 4 home runs. So Harper's actually had a really good offensive start. But for the Rockies, it's like I said, it's starting to trend at least a little bit in the right direction. Get the 2-game sweep of the Astros in interleague play. Rockies hitting .231. In the last 10 games, they've been outscored by 6 runs during that stretch. Ryan McMahon, of course, leads the Rocks. He has 6 home runs, 10 RBIs coming into tonight. So it'll be Vince Velasquez for the Phillies, and Herman Marquez will be on the bump for the Rockies tonight. And that one will have the Rockies tomorrow night right here on the Team Sports Network. And the Nuggets play Golden State tonight. First game against the Warriors since the Jamal Murray injury. Remember, that was that final minute of the game against the Warriors where Steph Curry just went off and had a huge, huge game, surpassing Wilt Chamberlain as the leading scorer in Warriors history. Well, fortunately for the Nuggets, Steph Curry's kind of come back to earth a little bit, which is good.
Good.
It's a good thing. But just a quick thought about where the Nuggets are right now. They're fourth in the Western Conference. And at this point in time, that, you know, what are the chances of the Nuggets being able to host in the playoffs? Not have, you know, obviously, they're not going to catch Utah for the number one spot at 44 and 15. That's not going to happen. But right now, in a good spot, probably in a better position right now to get that a home court advantage in the playoffs, at least in the first round. Lakers lost the Mavs on Thursday night. So they're 4 behind the Nuggets right now in terms of losses. And so the Clippers, they're only 1 ahead of the Nuggets in the loss column. But they've also banked 4 extra wins due to that change in the first half schedule. So it's going to be tough for the Nuggets to catch the Clippers, though not impossible.
Right.
Because there's a chance Kawhi Leonard could get rest, Paul George could get rest, they could catch up with them. But at least right now they're in a position with that 4 spot. Looks like a good place to be in terms of hosting in the first round.
Which you want.
Exactly, which is what you want. So Nuggets tonight at the Golden State Warriors. Tip off at 8 o'clock for that one this evening out in the Bay Area. All right, who do we have on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line?
Michael this morning.
Michael. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm just calling up to comment about the biggest bust in Broncos draft history.
Please share. Share that with us, Michael.
In my lifetime, and it's not been a long lifetime, born in 1987, for me it has to be Marcus Nash. Pick number 30, I think the 1998 draft. He was a wide receiver from those Tennessee teams with Peyton Manning, and he had all of 4 receptions for 76 yards in his Broncos career.
Yeah, not
that was it.
Not very impressive. No, Marcus Nash, I agree with you. Certainly one of the biggest busts in Broncos history. So in your opinion, you feel like he is the biggest bust?
Well, I don't think he's the biggest bust, but he's the biggest bust I have seen.
That's in your lifetime. I get that. Sure, yeah, that makes sense.
Absolutely. And it's close with Jarvis Moss. You know, Jarvis Moss would be up there too in my lifetime. Defensive end from Miami. But for the most part, and of course Paxton Lynch, but certainly Marcus Nash, coming off of those Super Bowl teams for the Broncos, you're hoping to bring some help in. Here's a wide receiver who comes from a good system, who has a good quarterback in college, and he doesn't really produce. And he's gone after the second season with the Broncos. So yeah, that's my pick.
All right, yeah, Jarvis Moss, I mean, 2 seasons at Florida. I mean, he put up some really impressive numbers, but yeah, for Moss, only played in you know, what, 2.5 seasons. Really didn't much. Only had 1 start and played in 6 games as a rookie before he got the leg injury in practice, and he was done. Marcus Nash, you look at the numbers. He had 76 catches in his final season for Tennessee, had 13 touchdowns. And then after that, 8 games a rookie, 4 catches, 76 yards, and then got shipped to Miami for John Avery. Remember that? Remember John Avery, the running back? He's the one that came in when they dealt Marcus Nash. And they didn't get a whole lot out of John Avery either, to be quite honest, in that deal.
No.
Hey, Mike, great to hear from you. Michigan Mike, right?
Yes, absolutely.
How you doing these days? I saw you've had a little injury, health issue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some sprained ankles and some tendonitis, but, you know, that's called getting older, and, you know, it's how it is.
You're preaching to the choir here, Mike, okay? Trust me. I'm quite a bit longer in the tooth than you, but I totally get that. I do.
For me, it's just scrambling all over the battlefield here at Gettysburg and, you know, twisting my ankle and all that nonsense, and that's not a good way to go about doing things, I think.
Now,
I should probably scale back a little bit.
Sure, to explain to people, you know, are you still training to be a tour guide, or are you now a tour guide at Gettysburg?
I'm training.
You're still training,
right?
Okay.
Now, yeah, COVID really threw things for a loop out here. It really, especially in public history everywhere, but especially Gettysburg. So visitation was artificially low last year, as you can imagine, with no one really traveling. This year we're seeing an uptick in buses and tour groups coming back. So visitation's starting to normalize a little bit. I'm still training for it. Hopefully the test will be either this year or next year. But certainly it's been a lot of fun just being 26 miles away from probably one of my favorite places on Earth to just go and walk around and study history and learn from the voices of the dead.
Yeah, I think it's just that's such a cool thing, such a fantastic thing that you're doing, training to be a tour guide at Gettysburg. Mike, always great to hear from you. Thanks for calling
Absolutely.
In today. Take care. Best of luck. All right.
You too.
Michigan Mike. Trying to be a tour guide at Gettysburg.
That sounds like a cool job. Yeah,
very cool job. All right, let's get to...
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Kate?
College baseball from earlier this week. Texas Tech taking on West Virginia. Top of the eighth, a foul ball comes screaming towards the Texas Tech broadcast booth, where play-by-play man Jeff Haxton makes an incredible barehanded catch. Watch the video if you can. This is Jeff Haxton's call of him catching a foul ball in the broadcast booth.
Pitch. Coming right back at us.
Yeah! Hax! With a barehand snag. Woo-hoo. Great play, Jeff Haxton.
My hand hurts so bad right now.
Man, that was fantastic.
My hand hurts so bad right now.
I can't imagine.
My index finger is blue.
And it literally, like, it's his bare hand. No glove, no nothing. Just right there, catches it, and...
Just a reflex kind of thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was it, like, heading toward his dome? Was it heading toward his noggin? Or?
It was probably, I think, just... Probably more torso, chest area. Which
still would have hurt really bad.
Yeah.
Look at his cat-like reflexes.
Yeah.
He says broadcasters aren't a little athletic. That guy's definitely a little athletic. All right, running short on time, we went a little long here, so we'll move our Chris Hanks conversation to 8:40 this morning. But coming up next, get more of your text. Mike, appreciate Mike calling all the way in from the East Coast, by the way, on Marcus Nash. Who do you think, in your opinion, is the biggest bust in Broncos draft history? Text or call us 970-242-1340. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Welcome back, Jim, along with Cake. Who do you think is the biggest bust in Broncos draft history, biggest bust NFL all time? Got some thoughts into this Friday on our Super Bowl 50 film. Of course, covering that Super Bowl 50 season, the film Blue Steel. Going to cast William Shatner as Bill Belichick. What do you think of that, Pyle? Your reaction to that? Text or call us 970-242-1340. Coming up next hour, Rob Fournier, coach of Wabash Valley.
Do you have a real estate project that is just too big and complex for the average broker? We want it. Hi, I'm Gary Hubble with United Country Colorado Brokers and Auctioneers. I'm also the Western Regional Director of United Country's Strategic Client Services Division. We've sold marinas, wineries, subdivisions, hotels, manufacturing plants, luxury homes, ranches, even honky-tonks, you name it. If the project is big and difficult, we want it. Call me at 970-872-3322 or log on to UCColoradoBrokers.com.